Hey everyone, you're watching I'm for the Advocacy Media. This is our Journey Series podcast. I'm Mark, a brown man with black glasses, black and white beard. I'm bald and I'm wearing a brown shirt.
And I'm Crystal. Today I'm wearing a blue and white striped shirt. I'm a white woman with brown hair and brown eyes. We're in our home office.
And today we're speaking with Melanie Dunn, who's going to tell us a bit more about her journey and what she's got going on with the Amy Copeland Foundation. Hi, Melanie.
Hi guys, how are you?
Hey,
Good.
thanks. How are you?
Good. I am Melanie Dunn. I'm a white woman with brown hair, brown eyes, wearing a green shirt.
I'm glad you could make it with us here today. Can you start
Thank you
off,
for having me.
Melanie, by telling us a bit about your journey and what's led you up to this point?
Certainly. I am 51 years old. And when I was in my late 30s, I contracted waterborne staph. I stepped in a puddle in Washington, D.C., a little rainwater puddle, and I had on flip-flops. I had a crack and a callus in the bottom of my big toe on my right foot. And in stepping in that puddle, I contracted the waterborne staph. Didn't know what it was for a good maybe a week or so while my foot continued to get bigger and redder and more swollen. And I went to the doctor. They still didn't know what it was. I eventually ended up in the hospital. The doctors thought it was a diabetic foot infection because I am a type 1 diabetic. And it was not a diabetic foot infection. It ended up being waterborne staph. After multiple surgeries to clean out the infection, I was diagnosed with the waterborne staph and started with IV antibiotics. And this was a journey that took me for a big loop because I wasn't on the right kind of IV antibiotics, I wasn't on the right kind of therapies. I didn't have the right type of surgeries. Things just kind of spiraled out of control. So it wasn't for a good amount of time, a couple of years actually, having one surgery after the next, trying to contain the infection because it was going from one part of my body to another part of my body because it would go from one weak spot to the next weak spot because it could not be contained. It would bounce from one foot to the next foot to an arm or another part of my leg or to my face, to my jaw, to my teeth. It just went all over, all over the place. I finally ended up at a, one of our larger university hospitals here in Atlanta. And they were able to get me on a regimen of IV antibiotics that was able to somewhat get it under control because it had broken down my body to such an extent. They tried to start me on a therapy called IVIG, which is for people with autoimmune disorders. I have an autoimmune disorder that I did not know that I had prior to contracting the waterborne staph. It's called hypogammaglobulinemia. It means that basically I don't have an immune system. And so I have to be very careful being around other people, being around, people who are sick, that sort of thing. And I also am IVIG, I mean IgG and IgA deficient. So I have upper respiratory infections and I have abdominal infections. So, and I had had those my entire life, but I didn't realize what exactly was going on because no one had really been able to diagnose those sorts of things with me. So it took a brilliant infectious disease doctor to put it all together. So he started me on a regimen of a immune therapy drug. And it turns out that I'm allergic to the immune therapy drug. And I had a reaction to it. And I was admitted to the hospital for what came back in my blood work as a cocaine overdose, is what it showed in my blood work, knowing full well that I do not use illicit drugs, and that I had just had my IVIG administration the day before, that the doctor was like, okay, she's having an allergic reaction. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what was going on. For 12 days, I was in the hospital. And after that, things really started to spiral out of control in my personal life as well. My ex-husband decided he didn't want to be married anymore. He decided that his vow for sickness and health didn't mean anything to him anymore. He couldn't control his own his own feelings towards my illness because, you know, it was just something that he couldn't deal with himself. So at that point, I ended up moving in with my parents and getting divorced. And that was probably one of the lowest points in my life. One of them. Because I've had a couple. But the lows came a little bit later. Because I continued to get sicker. And I ended up with being admitted to the hospital out here. I was living in Atlanta. And then I moved to McDonough with my parents. So I was admitted to the hospital out here and met my current infectious disease doctor, who is absolutely amazing and who I credit with saving my life multiple times. And he has done amazing things for me, including being a confidant and telling me like it is, telling me what needs to happen. I can tell him what I'm feeling, and he can look at me and tell if I'm sick or not. He can walk in the room and say, okay, I know, you know, we need to do some IVs, or okay, we've got a problem. Because most of the time I'm a happy, upbeat person, you know, but if I'm really not feeling well, you can tell. So my doctor is amazing. My primary care physician is amazing. So I've got a great group of doctors out here. But I guess my lowest low came, my first lowest low came in September of 2016. The infection had become to the point it had really gotten out of control and became necrotizing fasciitis. So I had the flesh-eating bacteria. And I had to have my right foot removed. So I had my right foot amputated. The doctor, who is my orthopedic surgeon, who's amazing, he left a little pad for me to walk on because he knew how important it was for me to continue to be able to be mobile. Well, after that, a couple of months later, the infection spread even more into my left leg after being on IV antibiotics, continual IV antibiotics, and it broke every bone in my left leg, in my left foot. And I continued to walk because I was determined I was going to walk on crutches. I was walking in a walking boot because I didn't want to give up that ability. I didn't want to give up that freedom. And when it came down to it, it was my infectious disease doctor who told me it was either my life or my leg. So I met with him before I met with another orthopedic surgeon who we scheduled the appointment to. Sorry.
Which you became pause.
To have my leg amputated on January 27th, 2017. So that was when I had my left leg amputated for the first time. I have since had it amputated because of infection and because of non-closure and because of other complications. I've had it amputated four other times. I've had revisions to make it shorter and shorter and shorter. And I had to have about 3 inches of natural bone left below my knee. So I'm very protective of my leg.
Naturally.
And, you know, it's when I get sick or when I get a blister from walking or when I get a cut, I get very, very, as someone once told me, I'm very paranoid about my leg.
No, that's not paranoid.
But I mean, I can't take a bath anymore. Even in my own bathtub, I clean every day with Clorox before a shower. Just because of the, God forbid, I get some kind of bug, you know, if I get some kind of bacteria, if I have a cut on the bottom of what my little nubbin, as I call it, on my right foot, or, you know, shaving my legs in the bathtub, you know, if I get a cut or something. I'm just, you know, I probably could because it's my own bathtub and because I know it's clean, but it's just that paranoia that I have,
right,
of anything waterborne.
I think,
because of necrotizing fasciitis. Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. No, sometimes people, like they may use the word paranoia, which doesn't come across. Maybe hypervigilant is a better word.
That's a great word. Hypervigilant is a great word.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. Hypervigilant. And I am hypervigilant in the fact that I scrub my bathtub every day. I don't probably don't know anybody that cleans that has. I should have stock in Clorox cleanup. I really should.
Yeah, right?
Huh?
Yeah, well, Crystal and I talk a lot about this, and certainly I have a lot of experience with this. People using certain words, and then you tend to internalize those, and it ends up making you feel bad.
Yeah. Hypervigilant is a great word. Thank you for that. I'll be using it from now on. Hypervigilant.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But I am, since losing my leg in 2017, I have had a multitude of other surgeries. I've had, since getting sick in 2011, I've had 68 surgeries. So surgery is nothing that I'm afraid of anymore. It's nothing that I am, that I look forward to, that's for sure. But it's something that I am, you know, I'm not, if somebody says, oh, well, we need to operate on that, I'm like, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? It's, I actually went to the orthopedist today. I've got a bursitis and some other problems with my right shoulder. And she told me, she said, you know, if it doesn't loosen up in the next 4 weeks, we'll probably have to go in and operate and loosen it up for you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's just It's just a shoulder. It's not, you know, it's not like it's gonna, it'll loosen up. I promise you, it'll loosen up. Just give me a shot of cortisone. I'll be fine. Because the S word, as I call it, I'm tired of surgery. You know, 68 surgeries is enough. I'm done. But it's I have a lot of life to live, you know, and I'm tired of having to recover from surgery. So this past year alone has been full of surgery. And I want 2024 to be a surgery-free year. So that's my goal,
I
to not
think
recover any.
when we initially talked for the pre-discussion, you've had three right around there, right?
I had some major oral surgery done in March and have had a lot of subsequent surgeries done since then. So I think I'm good there. I think everything's fine there. So I'm happy with that.
Well, we're glad we can finally get this recording.
I
Now, I
know.
remember, like, that
I
was almost a year ago.
it's been crazy. It's been crazy. My year has been crazy with surgeries and with trying to get a gala done and trying to raise funds and trying to get everything together that I needed to get together. And so I'm glad I finally have a chance to talk to you guys.
Grateful that you could join us.
So, did you want to start talking about your foundation, the Amy Copeland Foundation?
Sure. I am the assistant director of the Amy Copeland Foundation here in Atlanta. And we are an organization that we help individuals who are mobility impaired. Actually, we help people who are mobility impaired who have all sorts of challenges. And primarily, we are working on a project. It's called All Terrain Georgia. And we help the mobility get back out into nature. We have a fleet of all-terrain vehicles, all-terrain wheelchairs in our Georgia state parks that individuals can check out, they can reserve, and they can use them for free. They go through a process of taking a safety course and safety quiz once they get send in their information and we vet them and get their driver's license or an ID, that sort of thing. And once they're certified and know how to become safety ready, then they can use the chairs. And people are really, really enjoying it. There are lots of programs popping up all over the nation, and a lot of people want to use our model on how to teach people how to use the chairs and to be safe in nature. Our number one goal is to preserve the earth for our children and our children's children so that it's here, so that they have a place to play too. But our number one motto is everybody deserves a place to play. So we want people to get outside and have a great time, enjoy the earth. I know that when I lost my leg, the number one thing for me was to be able to get outside and to be able to feel the sun on my face. And that really was a healing aspect for me. Because being inside all the time is so, it's just too confining. And somebody in a wheelchair, somebody who can't walk, somebody who has to be inside all the time, they need that outlet. They need that little bit of freedom. They need that little bit of time in nature. These chairs are, they can be self-propelled or they can be propelled by a buddy. Everybody has to have a buddy with them in nature. They have to have a buddy with them in the program. So the chairs have a controller that they could have a buddy to propel them if they needed. But being in the chair for the first time, being a double amputee, it was like running for me again. And it was a feeling that just brought tears to my eyes because it is so incredibly amazing that, being able to go fast when you're so used to going slow, when you're so used to having to go slow. So it's great to be able to be out in the woods and or out in the middle of a field and just to feel the sun on your face. And because being in my regular wheelchair, there was no way I could do that. I would have to stay on the concrete and somebody would have to push me, or I'd have to try and propel myself. And propelling yourself in the grass or having somebody else propel you in a wheelchair in the grass is not an easy thing. It is very difficult. And if you're trying to get over rocks or anything else like that, it is really, really not fun. So these chairs can go over rocks, they can go over tree branches, they can go up curbs, they can, they're like little tanks. So that's a fun part too. And it's kind of like a video game, it's got a joystick and it's kind of fun.
So
So
you were telling me before the I guess the radius of where this is, like how far down south in
we
Georgia
are
and
currently we have chairs within a 2-hour radius of Metro Atlanta, but we're getting ready to expand. We have the funds and we're going to be putting chairs all the way down. We just put two chairs at Cumberland Island National Seashore here on the coast of Georgia, and we are going to put probably 9 to 10 more chairs in Central and Middle Georgia. Central, middle, and Southern Georgia.
Okay.
So we're going to be
So
all over
nothing.
the state.
How far up north do you go? Is there
Go
only
all the
central?
way to the Tennessee border.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, we're
Is
right at
are
the
there? Sorry.
Tennessee border at one of our parks. It's called Cloudland Canyon, and it's very, very popular.
Are there any plans to expand to other states?
Yes, actually, we're working with several states right now. And I've talked to, I can't tell you how many states between Amy and I we've talked to help them get their programs up and running, and different organizations within our state of Georgia that want us to help them with their own programs, like personal private parks that want us to start their own program and have their own chairs. And so the model of the program is spreading across the nation, and but I mean there are chairs all over the place. I was at a convention speaking a couple weeks ago, and there were people from Michigan and California and Washington State and Idaho and Iowa and people from the middle of the country, people from out west, people from up north. So, I mean, there are programs out there. They are none of them are as widespread as our program. They might have one or two chairs.
Do you guys work with a specific wheelchair companies
We work
or?
with right now we work with Action Track Mobility here in Atlanta. And they are all, it's the Action Track chair is the name of the chair that we use, and they are great chairs. There's a number of different kinds of Action Track chair. You can go from the ones that sit down to the ones that sit and stand. We just have the ones that sit. The ones that sit and stand are more expensive, but they're pretty cool too. I'd like to try one of those out, but we just use the ones that sit right now, but they're really cool. They can do a lot.
I've always wanted to have one.
Well, you should come and try one out. You should fly over to Atlanta and try one out.
See, I went to a night Abilities Expo and I tried a permeable one and I saw some other models that I really liked. And
Yeah.
I saw, yeah, I saw one of the I made it like a one of my goals to get to that point to get one.
Well, they're really, really fun. And it's a real game changer for people in wheelchairs. And,
Sure.
being in a wheelchair myself, I can tell you it's there's nothing like it.
Yeah, especially when, there's not, it depending on where you go, there's not no like especially big parks, they're not always accessible. Like, I
Right.
mean, obviously they have their trails and stuff, but the real adventure is getting out into the thick of it, and
Right,
you can't
exactly.
do that in.
A lot of parks have ADA accessible trails, but these chairs go on the real trails. They go on the bumpy trails. They go on the muddy trails. They go on the out in the dirt and they play. And that's what's so fun. And the ADA trails are fabulous, and we have some fabulous ADA trails in the woods and some of our parks that are just amazing. But some, it's to be able to, these are really to be able to go off-road, which, I think is kind of awesome.
I remember on the way up to Georgia to a conference I was going to, we stopped and I forget where we stopped, but we stopped at a park and rented one of those chairs, and I enjoyed it so much. And I think that's what the whole thing of me wanting to get one
Yeah.
myself came from.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I think, like all of us, whether we're disabled or not disabled, we just want to pursue life. And just as anyone else has the right to pursue adventure and pursue
Exactly.
life, right? And ADA accommodations are great and trails are great, but there's got to be something a little, just feeling a little different when you're this person that has to use a specific trail because you can't do what everyone else is doing
Right.
because of it's not accessible.
Right.
And that's what we, when Amy dreamed up off touring Georgia, she was in a hospital bed. She had just lost all of her limbs to necrotizing fasciitis. And she said, I don't want to have to go to a special park. I don't want to have to go to a special place. I want to go where everybody else goes. So, and that's the thing. We want to go where everybody else goes, right? We don't want to have to go to a special place. We don't want to be singled out. We want to be able to do everything everybody else does. So, we have to do special things already. We have too many other special things that we have to do. So,
Right.
find we have to enjoy nature differently than somebody else. So
Right.
that's why we have All Terrain Georgia. It's get in the
Right.
chair and go with your family. Get in the chair and go with your friend.
Right.
We've got a man who has spina bifida. He's never been able to go camp. He's never been able to go camping or to go hiking with his son and his wife. Well, now he can. It's those kinds of stories that we hear every day. That's why we do what we do,
And Sorry. Sorry.
You
Go
know,
ahead.
when he called me and he told me, you know, when he called me and he told me, you know, and he was in tears, he said, "I have never gotten to do this before. Thank you for the experience. Thank you for the ability to be able to do it." Because people will call all the time and say, "Well, how much does this cost?" And I'm like, "It costs nothing. It's free of charge. We've done all the fundraising. We've done all the legwork so that you can use them for free. Because we don't want to inhibit anybody's chance to get out and play. We want everybody to be able to have the same opportunity. So we don't want it to be based on money. We don't want it to be based on what you can afford or not. So everybody can do it for free. As long as they can pass our little quiz, you can get out and you can use the chair."
Have you ever run into a situation where someone has a disability and they're not able to use one of your equipment?
Where they can't use the chair.
Like,
We
you know how some chairs need to be customized for the person to for them to function with it?
right.
Have you ever run into that?
Well, the arms of the chair lift up for transfer. So we can put they can put a transfer board on to slide over. They can put pillows on the sides to help keep them steady and to tuck them in if they need to be tucked in. We have a harness that holds them in, so if they don't have body strength, upper body strength, it will hold them in. Everybody has to be snapped in anyway, but it holds. Like we have one of our board members who has a condition, and he doesn't have upper body strength, so he uses the harness a little bit tighter than most people, and it holds him in so that he can enjoy the chair because he likes to go fast and he likes to, you know, he's a boy. He likes to do boy things on the chair. So he gets tucked in and he straps on the harness real tight. And so there's different things that you can do to accommodate the chair to you. You can lift the footrest up, that sort of thing.
I would think those are certainly questions that our audience would want to know. Like,
Absolutely.
if I'm going to plan a trip, you know, and those things are not inclusive to my family member that needs that, then that would be, you know, it would kind of ruin the whole, you know, the experience for that
Yeah.
person. So.
And they learn that in the class, in the little online class that they take. If you're a smaller person, if you need
Okay,
the upper
great.
body
So,
strength,
okay.
you know, they learn about the harness. They learn about bringing extra pillows. They learn about, you know,
Awesome.
the different things that they
And
need.
what is that
It's www.allterraingeorgia.org.
website? Okay.
It's all spelled out, allterraingeorgia.org.
Okay. Thank you.
I think also that's a great initiative because, like, nature was created for everyone, and the only reason it's not everyone is able to go there is because do those things because certain people haven't made it accessible.
Right.
No.
And I have to say that our Georgia State Parks and our national parks here in Georgia are doing an amazing job of taking our trails and making them more accessible for the
Sounds
alternative
like it.
use and even for making them more accessible for everyone. So they're doing a great job.
So, I wanted to ask you, can you, I've heard a lot about, you know, people with disabilities. If they want to go to like a state park, it doesn't cost anything or is less, or how does that work?
They have to pay $5, a $5 entry fee. So they have to pay $5 or they can buy a annual pass, which
Now
I
that's
believe
any state park,
any
right?
state park, and they can go to any park in the entire state.
Okay.
Now, for
Now,
that breakfast.
for national parks in Georgia, there's a free pass.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a
But
free
yours
pass for
is
people who
fine.
are disabled.
That's not bad.
Yeah, national
So.
park, and we're in national parks now. And if you get a national parks pass, which is free, you can go to any national park in the entire nation, and it's free if you're disabled.
Okay.
So that's good to know. If you're in any national park, you can get a pass for free.
And that only that you need to be on SSDI for that to, or how, like, what are the requirements that people have to go through?
They have to send their driver's license or their ID to me at info@allterraingeorgia.org, along with proof of disability, which could be the hang tag from their car, a license plate from their car, or a letter from their doctor, or something from their electronic medical record from their, we have electronic medical records here in Georgia. Just something that says what their disability is. They email that to me, and then I email them the link to the class and the quiz. They go online, they do the class and the quiz. It might take them an hour to do everything all together. And then they send me a screenshot of their score, and then I send them a certificate. The certificate is good for 1 year for them to be able to go online and to register to check out a chair. It's very simple and seamless.
Sounds like a good system.
Yeah.
It's really simple and seamless. It teaches you about the chair, it teaches you about nature, it teaches you about the program. It's just a comprehensive little class, and then there's a online manual as well.
Great. So any events or special projects that are coming up for the Amy
Well,
Coogland
we
Foundation?
just had our third gala this past Saturday night, and we are always taking looking for donations to purchase more all-terrain chairs. And you can go on our website at allterraingeorgia.org or amycopelandfoundation.org and make a donation. I would say you could go on our website and look at our silent auction items, but the silent auction just closed. So sorry about that. We'll be having some events come up soon. You can check out our Facebook page, which is Amy Copeland Foundation on Facebook, or Amy Copeland on Instagram. And
How did the silent auction do?
it did well. We raised, I guess, about $7,000,
Wow.
which was kind of our goal,
Awesome.
which was good. And we had a great night. It was a great Gatsby theme. So all the ladies, like my boyfriend said, all the ladies took the assignment really well and dressed up. And most of the men just had on tuxedos. So which was good. That was of the era as well. So but everyone looked wonderful. We had a great time. The food was great. Everybody was bidding and just enjoying the night. And so it was a lot of fun. But we'll be having more events come up soon. I just need to plan them.
Yeah. I think we have everything.
Yeah. Well, that was thanks for sharing your story, Melanie.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I love what I do. I love helping people. I love helping
Sounds like it.
people with mobility impairments because I never thought that I would be a person with mobility impairment because I love to exercise, I love to move. And then all of a sudden I was a person with a mobility impairment. And so it's something that I it's something that I care deeply about. So, you know, it's, I appreciate
helping the disability community understand that just because you have a disability doesn't mean that your life has to end. And
exactly.
You it can't have experiences that are a bit different, but they're
still
just
have
as meaningful.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You can still do things, you know. Mm-hmm. I dressed up the other night just like everybody else, you know. I mean, you can do things just the same as everybody else. It might just be a little bit different, but you know what? That's what makes you special. So, right. Yeah, that's what I always say. God picked me to be a little bit special. That's all.
Absolutely.
He picked us all to be a little bit special.
Yep. Thanks again, Melanie, for
joining
us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciated the opportunity to come on and talk and share my story with you and talk to you guys. And I really appreciated it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a
good
afternoon.
Yeah.
You too. Take care.